Welcome back to Aware. Hi, I'm Lisa Garr, and in this next part of the show, we're going to be talking about the importance of enzymes and why they are necessary for the body's innate ability to heal itself. So we're talking about the actual body this time, this part of the show. Joining me to talk about this is Dr. Lita Lee. She has been in practice as an enzyme therapist for over 13 years. She has a doctorate in chemistry, and for over 30 years, she's had experience in chemical and medical research. Her specialty is in developing nutritional protocols for balancing the body's chemistry, for hormonal balancing, protection from your environment, all sorts of incredible ways. She publishes an Earth Letter. It's a quarterly newsletter that gives the latest information about the field of environmental health and radiation protection, including political issues involving nutrition, medicine, and the environment. Fascinating newsletter. She is joining us today to talk about her latest book, The Enzyme Cure. I'd like to welcome Dr. Lita Lee to Aware. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
Incredible book on enzymes. Now, the subtitle to the book that I didn't read is How Plant Enzymes Can Help You Relieve 36 Health Problems. And your book is kind of a resource book. If you were to have a specific ailment like diabetes, you talk about different enzyme therapies that work with diabetes or allergies and so forth. And it's an incredibly useful book, which I really appreciated about it. First of all, let's just talk about enzymes. Why do we need enzymes?
Well, let me tell you what they are first.
Okay.
Actually, everybody's heard of enzymes, but an enzyme is the spark of life. It totally is behind every living reaction that happens in your body. And the body has hundreds of thousands of metabolic enzymes which are made inside every single cell. And these enzymes run the body chemistry. When I say run the body, I mean everything you do, thinking, talking, walking, digesting, living, breathing, behaving, and even dying. Every process in the body has an enzyme behind it. Then there are pancreatic enzymes. And these enzymes, there's about 22 of them, they work in the small intestine, and they continue the digestion of food after it leaves the stomach. And the third class of enzyme is what my book is about. It's called food enzymes or plant enzymes, and these are enzymes that are in all raw food. Everything we eat that's raw is full of enzymes in the exact proportion that you need to digest them. And the secret about plant enzymes or food enzymes is that they work in the stomach. So they actually can spare the pancreas because pancreatic enzymes never go to the stomach. So if you take plant enzymes or eat certain raw foods, you will digest up to 60% of carbohydrates, 30% of protein, and up to 10 or 15% of fats in just one little hour, and that's way before the pancreatic enzymes have even been told to come to work.
Now, what are some symptoms of someone who is enzyme deficient?
Well, there's an enzyme connection to every single health condition, whether you have diabetes or whether you burp or have diarrhea or constipation or colic. Baby colic? That's nothing but bad digestion. And the mother, if she doesn't know about these neat little enzymes, she'll take her baby to the doctor, and guess what the doctor gives?
Medication.
Valium.
Sorry.
A more nutritional-minded one will give hydrochloric acid, but that's not an enzyme either. And you can remediate colic, including the projectile vomiting that occurs in one day with these digestive enzymes.
What types of foods, including foods for children, would be the best food sources for enzymes?
Well, as I said, all raw foods
contain
just the right amount of enzymes to digest them, but organic foods have twice as many enzymes, as twice as much nutrition, twice as many minerals, and half the poisons of commercial foods. So the first step would be to get organic foods. The second step is to eat certain foods that are raw. Not all foods should be eaten raw, by the way. Milk should be drunk raw, but America is trying to make health illegal, so they make raw milk illegal in most states in the United States. But raw milk is very safe because of the stringent requirements for milking the cows.
Raw milk?
Raw milk, yes. And I have 21-year-old twins who were raised on raw milk. Nobody was ever milk intolerant until they started triple pasteurizing milk. Why do they pasteurize milk, huh? Excuse me?
I was wanting to know milk was cooked.
Yes.
It's in the pasteurizing process.
Yes.
I see.
It's called sterilizing the filth.
Oh.
Using
heat,
What?
Using heat, right?
Yes. They triple cook it, not just once. In other words, stove top cooking of milk, like to make ice cream or whatever you want to do, is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about heating milk three times to very high temperatures, destroys all the enzymes, cuts the calcium absorption in half, and converts the sugar into a kind that's not healthy.
That
causes milk intolerance. Yeah.
Right, right. Okay, that makes sense. So raw milk, is that something that we would look for on the label, is raw milk?
Oh, yes. It will say, made from raw milk, and then it will have this horrible, scary label that says, young people, old people, newborns, sick people, and even healthy people can get sick from this milk. I'm not kidding you. It's very political. But raw milk is one of the foods that should be eaten or consumed raw. Most people can get raw cheese.
I have so many questions to ask you. You being the type of person who is very up on the latest of the political policies behind our health systems, why do you feel that we are being told all of these things, that fluoride is good for us and that milk is good for us and, you know, all of these organizations that are pumping this stuff down our throats? Why is that happening?
Well, that is a political question. You see, in order to make fluoride legal, it is an industrial waste. But this country is very ingenious. But in order to make it legal, they have to sell it. So they got this idea to put it in water. And you can buy over 15 books that document the toxicity. Talk about enzymes. You want to know why people are enzyme deficient? Fluoride and all poisons, not just fluoride, work by killing enzymes. Fluoride poisons over 100 enzymes inside the human body. It causes seizures. It causes thyroid disease. It causes premature aging, bone disease, and cancer, and it does not prevent cavities. If fluoride prevented cavities, none of us would have them because we have 100 times more fluoride in every cell of our body than our ancestors did.
You quote a couple of studies. There's actually tonight in Santa Monica, at the Santa Monica City Hall, at 7 o'clock there's a giant rally because Santa Monica is going to be waste disposaling all of the fluoride in the Santa Monica Bay. And so this is a huge thing tonight if you are available to go to the Santa Monica City Hall at 7 o'clock tonight. But why is it that fluoride is not good for us?
Well, not only does it poison 100 enzymes, but it destroys thyroid function. It interrupts collagen, which causes premature aging, wrinkling, and bone disease. You can get pictures of people that live in areas where the water is naturally fluoridated. In other words, it doesn't matter whether we put it there or it's there by nature. It causes all these effects, and it's at concentrations of less than what they put in the water. And it's related to crib death, cancer. Thyroid disease is rampant in this country, and that's one reason why.
Yes. Makes a lot of sense. Okay, so what types of foods should we stay away from that are not enzyme-rich?
Well, as I said, number one, get organic foods. Number two, all raw organic foods contain just the right number of enzymes that are present they're present in the raw state. For example, an avocado has more lipase because lipase digests fat, and avocados have more fat than oranges, which have more sugar. So oranges contain more sugar-digesting enzymes.
Nature just does this perfectly for us.
Absolutely. But
isn't that nice?
Yes, I know a lot of people who eat all this stuff, but they're still deficient in enzymes because you can't escape the destruction that we have created on Earth. Dead soils, polluted waters, polluted air. And as I said, most poisons, whether it's a drug or an environmental poison like fluoride, works by inhibiting enzymes.
Now, talk about how the microwave process destroys enzyme, please.
Well, it destroys a lot more than enzymes.
Exactly.
It totally changes the structure of the constituents of food. For example, it converts the proteins into carcinogens, nerve toxins, and kidney toxins.
Huh.
The vitamins and minerals are not usable anymore because it changes that. It just totally destroys them. And people who eat microwave foods, and I'm talking about defrosting or reheating, not cooking, but just, you know, they say, well, I cook on the stove, I just reheat. Doesn't matter. Mm. And this has been proven, but it's not available in your daily newspaper because microwave ovens are a big business.
Right.
But people who eat microwave foods have pathogenic changes in their blood. This has been proven.
Now, how does the microwave do that to the food?
It's a problem of physics. It's the way it heats the food. It heats the food by literally making the water molecules vibrate from the inside out, and it's such an intense form of radiation. Nature was not developed to microwave foods. It was developed to cook foods on an open fire or on a stovetop or in a toaster oven. This is totally unnatural. It's a totally unnatural way to cook. I'll give you one example. There was a big lawsuit that came out, I don't know how many years ago, in one of these states. This woman went to the hospital and got a hip replacement, and the nurse who she needed a transfusion, so the nurse who gave her the blood defrosted it in the microwave oven, and the woman died instantly. And the family of this woman is suing, I don't know who they're suing, the nurse or the hospital, but I mean, it is that toxic that if you put a microwave blood into a human being, you'll kill them.
Wow. I'm still confused about how it exactly does that. I know it's probably a very physics-oriented answer, but can you explain it?
It's the way it heats the food from the inside out rather than just cooking normally with a certain amount of heat. It's a very intense heat.
I see.
And it's much more than just destroying enzymes. It destroys everything.
And it's also radiation.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
That's enough.
It's microwave radiation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the exact frequency is, but in addition, microwave ovens leak.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little meter that I can measure this stuff, and I had to stand 10 feet away from one microwave oven. So even if they worked, I wouldn't use one because they leak.
Wow. So even just a standard microwave oven leaks up to 10 feet distance.
Yes, and they cause a form of cataracts that can only be caused by radiation.
Hmm. Fascinating.
And guess what kids do?
Right, stand right next to
a stove.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm. And watch it cook.
That's right.
What are some of the sample questions back to the enzymes? You have a diagnostic test that kind of reveals what our nutritional deficiencies are and gives the body a profile of its enzyme status. What types of questions could we ask ourselves to determine whether or not we are deficient in enzymes?
Well, as I said, there's an enzyme connection to all of the conditions of health. For example, if you're an anxious person, you worry a lot, you have bone problems, you have achy bones, you test yourself and you're low in calcium, you may have blood clots, immune system problems, that's protease. Protease digests protein.
Mm.
So people that can't digest protein become very anxious and develop immune system problems. Okay, that's just one enzyme. What about lipase? Well, if you can't digest fat, that's lipase deficiency. Lipase deficient people tend to get gallbladder problems and
overweight.
Well, they can be overweight, sure, but a lot of enzyme deficient people are anorexic.
Hmm.
I've never figured that one out. How you can take 10 people that are enzyme deficient, 5 will be anorexic, the other 5 will be overweight. But anyway, lipase deficiency can lead to stomach problems, ulcers. And people literally burp their esophagus into their stomach, and this causes hiatal hernia, it can cause gastritis and ulcers. And the third outcome is diabetes. People who are diabetic are always, always, always fat intolerant.
Mm.
And fat and lipase has a magical effect on cell membranes. It makes them more permeable so that the sugar can get in and the waste material can get out.
Now, while we're talking on the subject about diabetes, talk about how, like, white sugars and white flours can literally destroy our bodies.
It's what's not there that hurts you. For example, if you eat sugar cane, which you can get organic sugar cane now, it contains nutrients. It contains not just sucrose, which is white sugar, which is a drug. You know, if you suck an ingredient out of the mother plant, what have you got? An isolated nutrient. The body likes the full orchestra to be present. It doesn't like orphans running around looking for their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
So white sugar has no nutrition except sucrose. It has none of the B vitamins, and it's the B vitamins in the sugar that prevent cavities. For example, in Africa, I know this because I know a lot of African people where I went to school, they chew on sugar cane, and they have the whitest teeth and not one single cavity. So it's the refinement that hurts us. And also, if you get refined sugar, you can eat a ton of it. I mean, people drink a Coke, it has 16 teaspoons of sugar. Is that normal? No.
The same process applies to the white flour?
Absolutely.
Divorce it.
White flour has nothing in it except starch, and it has a poison in it that causes diabetes, alloxin from the bleaching, and a lot of other stuff. It has no nutrition at all except starch.
So the bottom line is that raw organic foods are the most important thing that you can do for your body.
Right, and whole foods.
And whole foods. Now, you said that there are some raw foods that you can cook, that you can cook. What what foods are those?
You should not eat raw seeds, nuts, grains, or beans.
Why is that?
They contain very potent protease inhibitors, which is nature's way of keeping them from sprouting. Protease inhibitors do direct harm to the kidneys, and I discovered this in my own work doing urine chemistries to determine enzyme deficiencies, and I see a kidney-like disease pattern in people who eat raw seeds and nuts, and it goes away when they stop. So you have to soak them, sprout them, or cook them.
Oh, soaking them, yes, that's, I've heard that before. That's
at least 6 hours. And the other food that's notorious is the cruciferous vegetables, cabbage, broccoli, and cauliflower. Those have very potent thyroid inhibitors, and that's just one reason why I see, well, almost a worldwide epidemic of hypothyroidism, even in animals. I have all my animals. I have 5 animals, and they're all on thyroid. Mm. And I do enzyme testing for people all over the world. They're all the same. We're all enzyme deficient and sick. We all have the same symptoms.
What are some types of things that we can eat to help that deficiency with our thyroids?
Well, a pro-thyroid diet would include, well, an avoidance of thyroid inhibitors.
Which are?
You want me to get controversial?
Go ahead, Lita Lee.
Okay.
You well, know your stuff.
A low-protein diet is very bad, and by protein I mean animal protein, you know, eggs and milk, good organic milk, and fish if you don't like meat. I don't think eating cows is necessary, but if you're going to eat a cow, eat an organic cow.
Right.
And then avoiding thyroid.
If there is such a thing.
Huh?
If there is such a thing.
Oh, there is. I mean animals who are treated with kindness, love, and allowed to eat grass instead of soybean and corn. And then there are many thyroid inhibitors I've mentioned, too. Fluoride is one. Raw cruciferous vegetables. It's okay to cook them, but raw, they will inhibit your thyroid. And then soy is a potent thyroid inhibitor because it has 3 estrogens in it. And estrogen inhibits thyroid function, which is why so many more women have thyroid problems and that are harder to fix than men, because when a woman gets low thyroid, estrogen rises. And then the other class of foods that's common is excessive consumption of unsaturated oils, which by that I mean all liquid oils except olive oil. And the best oil you can eat, this is a real good one, is coconut oil, organic coconut oil, and then butter is the third oil I recommend. Coconut oil is the oil that God put in mother's milk. And so when people argue with me, I just say, you know, I'm not going to argue with God. That's the oil that he put in mother's milk. And if you wanted to analyze a healthy baby, the fat in that baby would be very similar to coconut oil. So I recommend coconut oil, organic coconut oil, of course.
I'm speaking with Dr. Lita Lee. She is the author of The Enzyme Cure. She's an enzyme therapist. Now, what type of enzymes can we take to help balance hormones?
When you totally digest food, from this digested food, you make not only hormones, but metabolic enzymes. So you have to find out what enzyme you're deficient in. And I would recommend a multiple digestive enzyme that emphasizes your particular deficiency. I've mentioned 2, but I'll tell you something. 100% of the people I analyze are sugar intolerant. Mm-hmm. By intolerant, I mean can't digest sugar, either because they're not making the enzymes or they're eating too much. It's usually the latter, but I have people who don't eat one single grain of sucrose and they're still sugar intolerant because everything you eat goes to sugar. So, number one, find out what your weakness is and then take an enzyme that emphasizes that weakness. And if you don't know, just go to the health food store and get a multiple digestive enzyme, a generic one, hoping to cover all bases.
And that should include lipase and protease. Just to make it really simple for us, a multiple digestive enzyme should include which types of enzymes?
Protease for protein, lipase for fat, amylase for carbohydrates, and then sugar-digesting enzymes, which are called disaccharidases. People are aware of sucrase, lactase, and maltase. That's cane sugar, milk sugar, and grain sugar. And then the last little enzyme, which people probably aren't aware of, is cellulase. The body does not make cellulase. And cellulase digests soluble fiber, and that's very important. So look for enzyme formulas containing all of those enzymes.
Fascinating, because there's a lot of different enzymes available, correct? I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of enzymes, correct?
Not really. You can get papain and bromelain. Those are pineapple enzymes. And then there's pancreatic enzymes, but they won't work in the stomach. So I've mentioned seven enzymes, the three ones that digest sugar, and then protease, lipase, amylase, and cellulase. That's seven enzymes I've mentioned. Those are the food enzymes that pre-digest food in the stomach.
Okay. And for various types of illnesses, like allergies and ADD, there's different types of enzymes you can apply to your specific type of ailment. Is that correct?
Right. Well, ADD is one of the probably 25 symptoms that comes from sugar intolerance and low thyroid function. Sometimes you need both thyroid and the sugar digesting enzymes.
Wonderful. Well, this in your book, you address 36 health problems, all the way from allergies, diabetes, A to Z, and you recommend in a very detailed way different types of enzymes to take for it. There's great ways to look up phone numbers to call about the right types of enzymes that are produced in good soil, and a very informative book.
Thank you.
Wow, this is such a comprehensive book, too. It's really wonderful. The book, again, is called The Enzyme Cure, and it's by Dr. Lita Lee, and you can access the book from alternativemedicine.com, which is the website, or if you don't have internet access, 1-800-333-HEAL, H-E-A-L, is another way to access information about the alternative medicine guides and other books that are available.
You know, I wanted to say one more thing.
Yes.
They're doing some kind of special. They have a magazine called Alternative Medicine, and if you order a subscription to that magazine, they have a lot of good interviews in that magazine. You can get a free book.
Oh, wonderful.
Not just mine, but other books.
Okay.
Any free book.
Any free book. Okay. You can get that by calling 800-333-HEAL.
That's right.
Correct. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Wonderful interview. I'm sorry we didn't have much time, but great information on enzymes. The book, again, is called The Enzyme Cure by Dr. Lita Lee.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If you want information on any of our guests, you can access also the Aware Show website, which is www.theawareshow.com. You can find out about guests from prior shows for the past year that have been on this show, and today's guests, and you can find out all the information you need to find out on there. And you want to find out about the workshops and seminars that are going on, you can call our hotline at 310-358-6800, or also on the website www.theawareshow.com. For all of your information needs, I'd like to thank everybody who has participated with the Aware Show: Steve Sharp, Toddie Blackstone, Alisa Maya Vigal, Debbie Peach, Terry Livingood, everybody who's helped with the process of this wonderful show. And while I'm committed to bringing you the clearest information possible, in the end, I always encourage you to listen to your very own truth. And thank you, Morgan. Until tomorrow, I invite you to stay aware.